I want you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn to that good story. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. Verses 26 through 35. I am going to be reading from the Amplified Study Bible. It is just a little bit different, but I don't think you'll have any problem following along. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly perplexed at what he said, and kept carefully considering what kind of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen carefully. You will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin and have no intimacy with a man?" Verse 35. Then the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power," you might want to underline that word power, because this is what is going to do the creativeness. "And the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a cloud. For that reason, the holy, pure, sinless child," meaning that Jesus Christ was born without an old sin nature. And the reason is that because he did not have a human father. And I'll say this, the old sin nature comes down through the seed of man. So every human being born is going to be born with an old sin nature. "And this child shall be called the Son of God." Now let's go back to Matthew for just a moment. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, let's go to the printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice the title, "Why Did God Choose Mary?" Now, you might want to write something here. I wrote this in this morning. How many times have you read the Christmas story? 10 times? 20 times? 30? 40? 50? Have you slowed down lately because you've convinced yourself, "I already know what it says"? Well, when you look at this, I hope you're honest with yourself, and you might say this: "I've read the Christmas story. I'm very familiar with the characters. I know of Mary, but the question is, do you know anything about Mary and her family?" It's quite interesting. Let's begin with the introduction. Although there were many girls God could have chosen for this assignment, Mary was highly favored and purposely selected by God before the foundation of the world to give birth to Jesus Christ. Now look at what this scripture has to say in verse 30. It says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Underline or circle the word "with," And the word with in the Greek language means close intimacy. Let me reread that. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found a very close intimacy with God. Underline or circle the word God, because you need to know something about God. The word God here in the Greek is theos. It means creator. God is the creator of all things through Jesus Christ. God is owner of all things. He is sustainer of all things. Now, I've got something here that you don't have, and I usually do in my notebook, that I want to give to you. So bear with me. Verse 30. Go back to verse 30. Notice the words, fear not, fear not. Fear not in the Greek language is a Greek negated present imperative. What does that mean? It means don't even think about being afraid of God's presence and God's plan for your life. Then look at that word far, F-O-R. It's a very interesting word. This word far, F-O-R in the Greek, explains the preceding statement. What is the preceding statement? Fear not. Mary, do not fear what the angel Gabriel is saying to you. Why? Because thou hast favor with God. Listen closely. Mary. Some would say, Mother Mary. I want to begin by addressing her as Mary. Mary was imperfect. You'll notice that Mary had parents. That means that Mother Mary had an old sin nature. And Mary was in need of Jesus Christ just like you and just like me. Mary. Mary, do not fear what the angel Gabriel is saying to you. Why? Thou hast favor with God. Mary, imperfect. But Mary was available. Mary chose to trust God to accomplish His purpose in this world. Look at the word favor. The word favor. Mary, you are highly blessed or much graced. This is used only one other time in the Bible, not concerning Mary, but concerning you. I want you to turn to Ephesians, if you will, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll verify that, and we'll begin with verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Blessed and worthy of praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, just as in His love He chose us in Christ, actually selected us for Himself as His own before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, set apart for Him, and purpose-driven, and blameless in His sight, in love. Verse 5, He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to Himself as His own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of His will. And here's verse 6, To the praise of His glorious grace and favor, which He so freely bestowed on us, that is, believers in Jesus Christ, in the Beloved, His Son, Jesus Christ. So when you look at that word favor, and I'll repeat that, says, Mary, you are highly blessed or much graced. This is used only one other time in the Bible, not concerning Mary, but concerning you. If you are a child of God, you are highly blessed. You are also much graced. I want to say this, Mary is no better than any Christian that will ever exist on planet Earth. Mary was chosen by God. Mary, again, had human parents. Mary, once again, had an old sin nature. Mary was also, again, in need of Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. So in Ephesians 1:6, we are highly favored, not because of who we are, but because of where we are. And where are we? We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now please understand that Mary was blessed among women, not above women. There is no scripture to suggest that Mary be worshiped or that Mary be prayed to. All right, let's go back to the printout here. Once again, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, a close intimacy with God, creator, owner of all things, sustainer of all things. Now, Mary was what? Favored, which means she had been singled out by God for a purpose. I circle the word she, and right below she, I want you to write her parents. If we're going to get the proper understanding, then her parents had also been singled out by God for a purpose in eternity past. And then I want you to write your name, if you will. You also have been singled out by God. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 1, that you were singled out by God also for a purpose. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 34, we just read that. It is important to see that Mary didn't say, this cannot be done. Instead, she asked, how will this be done? The only thing Mary questions is the methodology of what is about to take place according to the angel. Now listen to this question. Did Mary argue or doubt that what the heavenly visitor, and who was that heavenly visitor? It was Gabriel. There's only one other angel mentioned in the Bible, and who is that? It is Michael. Well, what's so special about Gabriel? Well, Gabriel gets to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of the throne of the living God. It is recorded that he gets to see much of the glory of God. So Gabriel has much authority because of his relationship and proximity that he has to the living God. So did Mary argue or doubt that what she, the heavenly visitor, declared would come true? No, she didn't. How did she respond? With an open heart, she simply asked how it would happen. Now, Mary describes herself as the handmaid of the Lord. Look at the word handmaid in verse 38. Handmaid here describes a female servant. Mary was basically saying, I am your servant, and I'm available for whatever assignment you want to give me. That attitude and that receptiveness of the Word of God did not happen by accident. We're going to look at this in just a moment. Mary had a wonderful family and a wonderful, warm Christian home that she grew up in. In fact, let's look at that. What was Mary's home life like while growing up? Other Christian writings reveal that Mary's parents were older. Underline the word older. How would you interpret that? More time, more focus, more spiritual maturity. Other Christian writings reveal that Mary's parents were older and had no children. Ask yourself the question why they had no children at that time. They prayed for a long time for God to give them a child. Now, I want you to write down a principle here, and here's the principle. Don't allow your impatience. Don't allow your impatience to override God's timing in any particular situation. They prayed for a long time for God to give them a child. And they had made a vow. Underline the word vow, V-O-W. A vow is a commitment. It is a solemn promise that if the Lord would give them a child, they would give that child back to the Lord. Early Christian writers recorded that when Mary was born, her parents presented her to the Lord and dedicated her. Underline the word dedicated. It means set apart for a special use. Therefore, from the time she was an infant, underline that word infant, if you will, I believe that is young. Some may say it's too young. But from the time she was an infant, the understanding of being dedicated to God was instilled. Underline the word instilled, please. Instilled means to introduce by gradual, persistent means. Was instilled into her. Moreover, her parents told her that she had been born into the world to serve the living God. Thus, she was raised to believe that she had a special purpose. Underline the word purpose and write, she was raised to understand why she existed and she believed it. I wish I had a lot of young adults here to listen to and understand what kind of environment that Mary grew up in. I'm going to say, number one, Mary had parents that were positive. They didn't beat her down, no doubt. They were so precious, Mary was. They were so receptive of the gift, the child, that God had given them and blessed them with, that they were so excited to have. What did they spend their time doing? I think loving her. Loving her and talking to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask myself, as a dad, how often and how much did I talk to my two boys when they were growing up about the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it I allowed to distract me thinking I don't have time to talk to them? I don't have time to develop their understanding in reference to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a dad, am I supposed to be the leader of the home? The answer is yes. Should I pray with my children? The answer is yes. Should I open the Bible and should we read together the word of the living God? The answer is yes. Should they know how much they are loved? The answer is yes. Should they know that they are special in God's eyes? The answer is yes. And I firmly believe if we could do that with our children from an infant on up, there would be no one in the streets today in Oregon or New York City or Chicago. There would be no Black Lives Matter. There would be no Antifa because these people would know that God loved them, that God had a special purpose for them. You know what's wrong with them? There's something missing on the inside of them. It's not that they love to do all those things that they're doing. There's just something that's missing, and it's really big. It is a gift, and that gift is a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, it's not going to be more laws that we need to make up or add to what already exists that is going to solve the problem. It is going to be the house of the living God. It is going to be the church of God. It is going to be Christian people that is going to go out there and be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to share Jesus with them. It is only the Word of God. It is only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that can bring about change in the life of another human being. If we're going to have peace, which we desperately need, it's not conflict with conflict. It is the Word of God being handed. It is the Word of God being communicated. It is the Word of God being prayed in the name of Jesus. There is no power out there that can stand up to the power of Almighty God. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere present. God is all-sufficient. God is everything you need. God is everything that I need. God is the greatest giver in this universe. And we need to accept the greatest gift that He gave us, and that is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, her parents told her, they told her, they spoke to her. She had been born into the world to serve God. Thus, she was raised to believe that she had a special purpose, and she believed it. Top of page 2. Mary's parents raised her. Underline the word raised. It means to increase in understanding, to increase in understanding. Mary's parents raised her in a home where God's word was a priority. Underline the word priority. It means something that merits your attention. The thing that should grab your attention, that should have all of your attention, is the word of the living God and the person Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a priority. And it's shaped. Underline the word shaped. The word shaped means used to determine form. Used to determine form. F-O-R-M. It's also being conditioned for effectiveness. God has given me a child. Brandon and Damon. What's my job? Help shape them. Help form them. Help them to understand how special they are and how effective they can be in this world that God has birthed them into it. Your children are not here by accident. Your children are given to you. And with that comes tremendous responsibility to teach them about Jesus, to read the Word of God to them, and give them the understanding they need to be God's witness and God's representative in every situation of life that they will find themselves in. All right, back to the printout. Now, when God revealed His will to her through Gabriel, that she had been chosen to be the mother of Messiah, she accepted it. Why did she accept it? Because she had already been trained. She was already spiritually sensitive to the word of the living God that had been passed on to her by her mother and her father. She was being trained by them because they believed in God. They were Christian people. In their home, you found Christianity in all the different places. So we see right here that she had been chosen to be the mother of Messiah. She accepted it without deep struggle. How many people today are in deep struggle because they do not have the Christian teaching and understanding that they should have? Why do you struggle with anything if you understand your Christianity? Why do you struggle with anything if you know how much Jesus Christ loves you? If you know that Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago paid your sin debt in full, if you know by Jesus Christ how blessed you are as a child of God, if you know by Jesus Christ how highly favored you are as a child of God, if you receive that understanding that is being communicated to you, it is being taught to you, then you're going to look at yourself and say, God loves me. You'll never say to yourself, nobody loves me. When you find yourself in very deep struggle, and I assure you, as a Christian and as a human being, there are times you're going to find yourself deeply struggling with something, listen to this, that is well beyond human logic. Mary had a spiritual understanding. Mary had a Christian understanding. Mary had a supernatural understanding that was beyond human logic. And therefore, any time a deep struggle came into her life, what was she going to do? She was going to apply everything she had been taught from the Word of the living God. So the angel did not really scare her at all. She was prepared for things that were going to happen beyond human logic that would appear and happen in the supernatural realm. She knew that angels were connected to announcing birth and other great things. So here's an angel. He's a supernatural being. He has been created by God. He's going to deliver a divine message unto Mary. Here we go. Mary's parents, I'm going to go back a little bit, raised her in a home where God's word was priority, and it shaped her spiritually and made her spiritually responsive. She was raised to believe she was to obey God without question. When God revealed His will to her through Gabriel, that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, she accepted it without a deep struggle. Here's the point, number one. She had been intentionally prepared by her parents and taught, that is, instructed, trained, and tutored to serve God faithfully, that is, explicitly, obeying whatever God asked her to do. Now, if an angel had come to you and you were about 16 years old and said, you know what? Something great is going to happen to you. This pregnancy. If you had not been taught beyond human logic, would you have accepted this? The answer is probably not at all. You would have said, what do you mean I'm going to get pregnant? I'm somewhere between 13 and 16 years of age. Do you know the trouble I'm going to get in because Joseph and I have not had sex? We are engaged. And if we have sex during the engagement, I could be stoned to death. So here she is. Would you call that deep trouble and a deep struggle? I believe I would right there. But what made her go past that? What made her see beyond that? It was what? It was the word of the living God was being spoken to her. And therefore, being trained to receive it, she had no problem receiving what the angel had to say to her, even though it was beyond human logic. Back to the printout here. Point two. This shows the importance of dedicating your children and grandchildren. You know what? We say, you know what? I'm going to dedicate my children. That's good. You're going to dedicate yourself too at the same time? Because if you don't, that child you dedicated will never know they were dedicated to the Lord. They'll never know how special they were. They'll never know what they should know in being a child of the living God. I'll reread it. This shows the importance of dedicating your children. Well, you say, I missed that one. What about the grandchildren? Dedicate your grandchildren. You say, Terry, how do I do that? They're not here. Do you not think God knows them? Who gave them to you? He did. All right. Are they special? Do you love them? Do you want them to grow up in the environment you're seeing on TV right now? What kind of environment do you want for them? A sensitive environment? A spiritually sensitive environment? Where they can be taught the Word of God? Where they can have an understanding of the Word of God? So here's what happened. Maybe you didn't do your children. But you don't have to have them here to dedicate them. The best thing I could give my children and my grandchildren for Christmas is not toys. It's to hear your granddaddy say, the other Sunday I dedicated you. And they'll say, why'd you do that, granddaddy? Because I love you. And I want you to know God's purpose for sending you into this world. And I dedicated myself at the same time. Because I want to walk by your side as long as God allows me to live. And I want to help you understand. I want to help you pick your friends. I want to help you be to the glory of Almighty God. And about that time, you'll probably feel some arms come around you and a tear in your eye. And you may hear these words. I love you. I love you, Poppy. I love you, Granddaddy. I love you, Grandma, because you're right there beside Granddaddy. And I appreciate you for loving me. Because there's going to be times in their lives they're going to run through the door and slam the door and say, nobody loves me anymore. Will you love me? You say, I never stopped. Kind of like Jesus, isn't it? You ever said that to Jesus? Will you love me? Do you still love me? Will you keep on loving me? And he'll say, like the prodigal son that came home to the father, I never stopped loving you. So the best thing I can do for my grandkids is today dedicate. Because God's going to hear me. And when you get one that graduates out of high school, and they've lived in a pretty secure home life, and they don't know the predators that are out there, it can get very, very dangerous. So I pray to you, you let your child know that they can live at home as long as they need to, until you get them God ready to leave. Because I promise you, when they leave, it won't take long. They're going to step into some deep struggle quickly. So it's never too late to commit your family to the Lord's care and service. Question. What is a baby dedication? A baby dedication is really a parent dedication. It is making a pledge before God and all that are present to raise their kids according to God's word and His ways. Marriage life demonstrates how powerful your words, don't cuss your kids. There's no reason to ever hear these words, damn you, come out of your mouth. Are you so freaking stupid you can't get it? You ever said that one? Words, they can kill. They can take a child further down than you know. And I want to say to the mom and dad, you know what you were like at that age? Not a bit better. So you want to criticize your kid? Maybe you need to talk to yourself. And said, if I'd have spoken the words of Jesus like I should have, this would have been a different household. It makes me want to hit a mom, a dad, slap you, or to dad, just hit him in the mouth. And say, who do you think you are, God? When you can't even control your own life? I know some of you have a hard time loving your children. You better love them now because they won't always be at home. You better do what you're going to do now because once they leave, sometimes they don't come back too often. Just love them. Marriage life demonstrates how powerful your words and training are in the life of your kids. It's not too late to dedicate your children to the care and service of the Lord, to begin to instill in their hearts and minds that God has a special purpose for their lives. We're going to have an invitation. If you want to dedicate your child, you say, Terry, they're 45 years old, 50 years old, 30, 40 years old. So, it's not too late for God to get a hold of them. It's never too late for that. And then thank God for allowing you to pray for your children. Be one of the best prayers you ever prayed when you ask God to give them what they need now, today. I know this is different from me. I listen to things in restaurants where I go eat. I hear the conversations of parents and their children. And it hurts. I don't know about you, but I love my two boys and I love my grandkids. And I want to do what God wants me to do. You know why? So when I die, they can carry on the tradition in God's Word, in God's love. Because I got news for, according to Matthew chapter 24, things are not going to get any better. And we ain't going to live forever, are we, Johnny? So won't it be nice to know somebody's got them that loves them? Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Mary's parents. She was placed in the right home to be prepared to receive what God was going to bring that she had no idea of. What could have been great humiliation and embarrassment to her did not happen. It didn't really become a deep struggle at all. She reasoned it a little bit. She questioned the method. Said, Lord, I know you can bring this about. I just don't know how you're going to do it. But she said, bring it on. Let it be according to your servant. Thank you, Father, for the parents you knew that would make her spiritually sensitive to the Word of God. Receiving it with great care and responsibility, knowing the true and the living God. His presence was there, His plan was there, His power was there. He would provide from that day forward. And He did. I pray during this invitation for a time of dedication. To say, Lord, my kids are not here, but I can pray anyway, can I? He says, yes. My grandkids are not here, but I can pray anyway, can I? He says, yes. Then would you back that prayer up? Then when you leave this place, handle that package with care. Let them know you prayed for them. Let them know how much you love them. And let them know when things don't go as planned, like the prodigal son, just start running. We'll open the front door and you can come in. And I'll hug you the best I can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.